Really? Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
You're tuned in to the FF Face-Off. Here, ready to drop the elbow on your competition, is Mike and Anthony. Ooh, yeah, dig it. Yeah, the FF Face-Off.
All right. Welcome back, folks, to the FF Face-Off. This is a podcast proudly brought to you by Fantasy Football King.
Now I'm your king. Behold the king. The king of kings.
Where it is championship time and there will be no knee biting during this podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, the
what is going on, folks? Yes, this is the FF Face-Off. This is a year-round fantasy football podcast coming at you during the offseason. Keep you best informed so that when it is go time, when it is time to strap on that fantasy football helmet, you're ready, willing, and able. So thank you for tuning in. Today, clearly, we are going over Championship Sunday, coaching changes, Robert Saleh introductory press conference, the whole kit and caboodle. It's going to be a grand old time. My name is Michael Hoff. You can follow me on Twitter at the FF Realist. My partner in crime, the get off my lawn man himself. His name is Anthony Servino, and he can be followed the real NFL guru. Anthony, how is by you on this Thursday?
Mike, I'm doing pretty good today. I'm in a little bit of a mood, a little bit of rare form, but I'm happy to be here at least.
You want to talk about it? You want to talk it out?
No, okay? Not really. No, I'm good. I'm good.
It's not going to be okay, or you don't want to talk about it?
No, it's going to be okay. I'm just in a mood. Okay. I'm just in a mood.
I'm glad it's going to be okay. There you go. What are we drinking today? Championship.
I got a coffee and Gatorade.
All right. Well, you seem... Well, okay. Well, you certainly brought the party, so thank you for that. I got a Eagle Rare on some rocks... You know, the cubes that won't melt. So
how about
that going on?
For our reaction show, I'm going to switch off of Fireball.
What are we going
I don't know. Something flavored. No, you know I want something flavored. Some kind of flavored whiskey.
Might as well put an umbrella in it.
Yeah, well.
All right. Well, great. Well, best of luck to you. Also have a Montauk from, they actually follow me now, so we might as well put that out there, you know. Montauk, anybody interested? Fantastic stuff. But all right, Anthony, let's get into this, man. Do you want to discuss some of the news first before we get into the actual games themselves? I mean, just so you guys know, I should mention this out loud, Anthony. I'm sorry. We are on all of the available areas, podcast formats. You can download our show. You can also watch live. We are on YouTube. We are on Periscope for the time being until they take down Periscope. We're also on Twitch. We're everywhere. We'll make it hard for you to not find us. Just a matter of you gravitating towards us. So when you go there, hit subscribe. Be notified every time we go live.
And
so,
when they do pull Periscope in March, it's just going to become Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's essentially, it's Periscope is already Twitter. It's just going to be one entity at that point.
Right. Right. So if you catch us there, fear not, you can continue to catch us there. So, and we'll keep delivering the good content that not enough people are realizing.
So yeah, let's open up with the news because we have Julia in the chat asking our thoughts on the Nick Sirianni hire. So let's start here.
Well, Anthony, you can give a more in-depth thought. I'll just say it's a tweet that I had, and I'm going to go with it. And Anthony, I know you could probably speak more to it. But to me, the Eagles were in a position where they didn't want to hire a guy that was going to say no to Carson Wentz. So they went to a guy who is familiar with Carson Wentz, is a branch on that tree, and brought him in because he wouldn't say no to Carson Wentz.
But does he have a tie to Carson Wentz, or is it just a tie to that coaching tree?
Well,
not that it makes a difference. I think it all goes hand in hand.
I don't know if it's a personal tie, but I believe that coming off of the Frank Reich tree, however long of a tree that is, he's basically his lieutenant. He's second in command there in Indianapolis, or was at least. So, you know, I'm sure go Frank over there, whispered some words in his ear about Carson Wentz. And that is one thing that we did see some headlines for, but it hasn't been confirmed, and they'll never confirm that, but they'll never say that publicly. But the report was that the Eagles wanted to get a guy who was willing to take Carson Wentz. Because losing Carson Wentz was not an option.
Now,
there you go.
We're going to rope everything into one here, because Julie is also asking us to compare Nick Sirianni's experience with Dan Campbell, and I'm happy that somebody brought up Dan Campbell, because I touched on Dan Campbell a little bit yesterday, saying and taking the words out of Juju or Claypool's mouth, the Browns are going to Brown. Well, the Lions are going to Lion, and the Lions Lioned with that hire. Dan Campbell had a nice little run in Miami when he was interim head coach. But all the rumors are saying that it was a motivational hire. And I brought up Joy Taylor on the Colin Cowherd show saying that if your paycheck isn't enough to motivate you or winning a game isn't enough to motivate you, you're probably in the wrong business. In fact, you probably shouldn't have a job anywhere, no matter the NFL, fair. If your paycheck isn't motivation to not only show up to work but perform at your best. Dan Campbell's experience, he was a former player, multiple teams, Giants, Cowboys, Lions, Saints, interim head coach with the Miami Dolphins 2015, assistant head coach and tight ends coach with the Saints 2016-20.
Anthony, yeah. Nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about the words that were spoken to them.
Yeah, but come on, but let's. She wants us to compare the experience. I would say Nick Sirianni has more experience coaching. He started out at Mountain Union as a D-backs coach, IUP 2006 wide receivers coach, Kansas City from 2009 to 2012 in various roles, quality control assistant quarterback coach, quality control coach, wide receiver coach, so on and so forth. 2018 to present in Indianapolis and obviously now in Philadelphia. As far as coaching experience, Nick Sirianni is more experienced. What Dan Campbell has coming from him, maybe he can relate to the players. What coaching tree would you say Dan Campbell comes from? You could say Sean Payton. Sean Payton comes from Bill Parcells. You obviously have Sirianni coming from, you can connect him to Andy Reid. So as far as coaching trees, both promising, but was either one of them the right hire with Brian Daboll? And I know I didn't like Daboll, and it's not like I don't like Brian Daboll. I didn't like him. I didn't like people saying Staley was the wrong hire for Daboll. I didn't agree with that. But with guys like him, Eric Bieniemy getting passed over, Jason Garrett, Marvin Lewis, you roll your eyes, and everybody can roll their eyes, but they have a hell of a lot more experience than these guys.
No, I think there was a reason why those names were floated out there. We did hear those names. They did actually interview with teams. So, yeah, I mean, to me, the whole Dan Campbell thing, and listen, this is even before his words today at his little press conference. Just a kind of interesting hire that I can't quite, and I guess maybe that's it. Maybe it's a motivator sort of thing, players coach type of thing. I mean, you certainly sound like a players type of coach. Maybe that lends to it. To me, with Campbell, it's more important than any other coach who's been hired. And I don't want to minimize this on a general standpoint, but I think he, more than any other coach who's been hired, needs to put together the best staff possible. I don't see it. I know you mentioned the time in Miami, and he did well there. He did well when he was the interim head coach there. I don't see it. I don't get it. And that's before he even opened his mouth today and delivered a XFL like promo.
XFL. That was WWE current WWE writers, because they're terrible, and it was bad. But what made it even worse was his delivery.
Yeah, the biting of the kneecaps, and kept going back to it, like the bite, and then talk about you got to take on bullets and this and that. Like, what the hell is going on here? These players
If I was like an SVU unit in Detroit or like the FBI, I would go after Dan Campbell for cannibalism. Yeah,
I
want to see what the hell is in his backyard. Dig up some bones or something.
That's a dude we need to keep an eye on. Just put his name on the bulletin board, and we'll just get back to it later. But yeah, he's going to take bullets, bite kneecaps, and
I'm going to
dismemberment and eating people. Like,
the same thing I said last year with Joe Judge. If you remember, Joe Judge gave that a similar rah-rah type of speech, and then Joe Judge brought
not
up
that graphic.
No, not that graphic, but we're going to ramp up. Are you aware, Dan Campbell, that There are rules now. Like, you can't. It sounds like he wants his guys to go hit 365 times a year, when in reality you have like one or two live practices a week.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, to the question, yeah, I would give the edge to the Colts there.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Fantasy football wise, or even football wise in Philadelphia, we're going to assume Sirianni's going to retain Carson Wentz. Miles Sanders is the one that comes to mind. I can see Philadelphia, if they're smart, blowing up their wide receiver room. Obviously, they'll retain the younger guys who are under contract, but they're going to move on from Deshaun, we hope. They're going to move on from Alshon Jeffrey, we hope. Possibly go after a bigger name if they can make the money work. Miles Sanders, though, is this helping or hurting Miles Sanders from a fantasy football perspective? We know Doug Peterson buried Miles Sanders, one of the more effective backs in yards per touch, yards per carry, but he was still throwing the football with Carson Wentz, a huge percent of the time.
I honestly thought, and I was of this mindset, especially if it was an offensive-minded coach, that I felt like any coach that came in, we're going to see a better year out of Miles Sanders, because I just simply think we're going to get more work from Miles Sanders. We're going to get more opportunity. Anthony, you spoke on that a couple weeks ago when I wasn't here, because I always listen to the show. I don't listen to it. It's funny. I don't listen to it when I'm on, but whenever you're on by yourself, I always listen to it. But you said it wasn't about Miles Sanders not performing well. It was opportunity. And I think regardless of what offensive mind they brought in, Miles Sanders was going to get opportunity, and that's why I think he's going to be labeled as a bounce back. And from a fantasy football perspective, that's all going to be really, truly dictated by his ADP, though, as to what's the value there. Will he bounce back? Sure. But what's the value in which you're investing a draft pick? So,
a little bit of activity in the chat. Julia's asking if the Eagles interviewed Bieniemy. I don't think so. I know the Texans did, but that was, I think, they're trying to appease and salvage relationship with Deshaun Watson. The Texans, I believe, are the only team right now without a head coach. Shocker. Jorge Edwards is saying, what's going on? What's going on, Jorge? Julia's asking if there's any offseason dynasty or keeper leagues we participate in. Yes, we do. Many of them, but just a lot on that. Julia, here's one more. Miles Sanders will never go in round one again. He's not going to go this year,
but
I won't say never. It's just, he needs the touches. He needs the opportunity.
Right. And I will just mention, just as a sidebar, since we were asked about Dynasty and Keepers and this and that, when we're in the off season, because again, we're a year-round show, we try and cover everything. We try and think of ways to cover every single angle so that if you have an interest in it, we got you covered. And if you're here already and we talk about something else, we might just talk into being interested in that too. So we're going to literally cover everything. So Dynasty stuff, we'll cover it. Keeper stuff, we'll cover it. NFL draft, we're going to do mock drafts on this show. If you've never been with us during the offseason, we're going to do plenty of mock drafts. We're going to get draft guys in here to give us the best sort of plan of attack as to what draft night might look like. Everything. We're literally going to give you everything. So stay tuned. We got you covered all day, every day. Except we don't record every day, but you get what I mean. So, yeah. Had to put that out there, Anthony.
So moving on, I know, yeah. You said there's other stuff that went on. So where were you going before we continued the Nick Sirianni conversation?
I have to announce, Anthony, The Cleveland Browns have long been, or not long been, but for the last 2 years have been my 1A, right? Love the Cleveland Browns. You know this. You always joke I'm on the Baker payroll. I still have a place in my heart for the Cleveland Browns, but I have to make an announcement. My new 1A... my team, you know how you always like to quote my guy, my this, my that. You're like the Susan Lucci of, you know, whatever. The New York Jets are my new 1A, and they introduced Robert Saleh today to the media. Listen, he was on Sports Radio here in New York. I don't know how you can listen to Rob Saleh talk and either not like him or not realize that he is, like, for example, he's a player's coach, but he doesn't have to talk about biting kneecaps to do it. He gets it. He gets what the players want. He gets what the players need. I think for the first time in a long time, I think this is an extremely solid hire by the Jets. Maybe I'm being a homer because I'm a Niner guy. I don't care. It's my podcast. I can say what I want. I love the hire. I'm excited about it. Very much looking forward to seeing what they do with Sam Darnold. Of course, he was very careful when he answered those questions. He said basically he's not going to comment on whether a player is going to be there or not, but he said that he's going to tell Sam when he meets him that as long as Sam is in that building, he's going to get everything from everybody that they have. So they're going to help. So will he be there? We'll find out. But I just wanted to mention he did have that today. So,
you know, it's not a homer call by you, and I understand why you would say that. Robert Saleh was one of the more coveted coaches, even this year with all the injuries your 49ers had. He still had, I believe, a top 10 defense in total yards or total points allowed, which is outstanding by him. The first Middle Eastern head coach ever in the NFL, which is a great thing. It's certainly in the right market for it in New York, with all the diversity in the tri-state area.
Got that here.
But he also brought over passing game coordinator, Mike LaFleur, the brother of
Matt LaFleur
over in Green Bay, the outstanding head coach who's in the NFC title game 2 years in a row right now.
Also, remember the name Jeff Ulbrich?
I do, the defensive coordinator.
He's there now. So he's there as well.
I love the hires for the Jets, and I'm going to credit everything to Joe Douglas, the general manager. And you know, if you remember, I believe it was McCagnan who was in place. And then, what was it, after the draft, they blow him out and bring in Joe Douglas. This is like his first or second full offseason with this team. He is now hiring, because he inherited Adam Gase. He inherited everything that is in place, and now he's making these decisions himself and bringing in the right guys to run this team.
I'll say this really quick as we wrap up Saleh, and I don't want to take credit for this. It was on sports radio here, Anthony, but it's true. It's factual stuff. It's there, you know, because you talk about when he was brought in, that being Joe Douglas, and that he inherited Adam Gase and so on and so forth. He had two big decisions so far, Joe Douglas. One was drafting Mekhi Becton, which looks pretty good so far, right? We would agree?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And second one is hiring Robert Saleh, which, as of right now, understand extremely early. The dude just got done with his, you know, press conference and talking to all the local radio stations. But we got positive vibes there. So far, Joe Douglas looks good. Now, we'll see what he does with a big-time salary cap, a lot of draft picks. Now it's on him, though. He's the next head that rolls. It's not Robert Saleh. He's the next head that rolls there, if there's a head that rolls.
Before we move on to the next topic, there was some a polarizing, a catastrophic, there was a landmine signing today in the NFL, Mike. One that can change the landscape of the league for the next 10 years.
What kind of dumb shit is this? What is it, Anthony?
Because the Pittsburgh Steelers, signed the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. They signed Dwayne Haskins, Mike.
They also actually, interesting enough, and I know we'll talk about Haskins. I'm just looking at this.
Do we
now.
Have to? That was all I got.
Ike Hilliard, of all people. I did not know this, so you can forgive me for not knowing this, but the Lions are interviewing the Steelers wide receiver coach, Ike Hilliard. I didn't even know he was a wide receiver coach.
Well, Miles Austin is the wide receiver coach of the Jets now.
Yes, which he also did some work with the Niners. Right. So Saleh poached a couple of guys from the Niners, tried to get D'Amico Ryans, and then the Niners went Hall and Oates style and said, I can't go for that. So that didn't happen. But yeah, listen, Dwayne Haskins, there's a lot of jokes that can be said about Dwayne Haskins, dollar bills, strippers, G-strings, all that fun stuff that you love, Anthony.
Can't get enough.
I know. I know. Trust me. I know, buddy. Easy boy. But I'll just say, I honestly, truly hope that he does have his head on straight. And I hope that, you know, whatever role it is on this team, for the Steelers' sake, I hope it's not starting quarterback at any point.
Well,
I hope he's not the
heir apparent to Big Ben, he's the head of the COVID protocol, making sure everybody has their masks on.
Okay. I hope that he's able to salvage what was the early part of his career, which is rather forgettable. So we'll see. Gary Kubiak, actually, also, Anthony, we are going to get into these games here, but Gary Kubiak was announced about an hour ago. Vikings offensive coordinator is retiring. So there's that. Yeah, Kubiak's been around a long time.
That's sad. I like Gary Kubiak.
I know. So do I. So there you go. So Gary Kubiak is gone from the NFL. And I mean, that's pretty much it for the news. I'm just going to say one thing out loud really quick, Anthony. You and I both saw this tweet.
Why don't you whisper it?
Because I don't give a shit, to be quite honest, because I don't know. I'm all about liking everybody. I'm all for that. But if somebody says something stupid, they say something stupid. Let's just be real. I get it. Somebody tweeted out there. I don't know who it was. I don't remember you. And I'm not. And I wouldn't put their name out there anyway to, you know, put them on blast. But somebody said that Drew Brees is just an overpaid Derek Carr. And to me, that screams that you've only been watching football for 1 year.
But that's the trend now, right?
Seems to be. But if you were watching football this year, and I don't know if this gentleman or woman, I won't even tell you the gender. I won't even let that leak. If they're speaking from fantasy or from NFL perspective, if you're talking from fantasy perspective, last year, I believe Drew Brees might have averaged a point more than Derek Carr. It was vice versa. But the year prior, if you were watching football then, which clearly you weren't based on your tweet, Drew Brees averaged 5 more points per game than Derek Carr did for fantasy. If you're talking from NFL, let's talk about how many times the Saints are in the playoffs. Let's talk about how many times the Raiders are in the playoffs. Just whatever. It bothered me. I had to mention it, and it's my podcast, so I'm allowed to do it.
Listen, that tweet was it was irresponsible. All right, it was clickbait. I don't know if it worked or not, but it was very irresponsible because. Okay. And I'm not a Drew Brees guy. If you listen to this show, I'm not a Drew Brees guy, but you know, I'm not biased. And Drew Brees, the Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best to ever step on a football field. If you want to say in 2020, in this season, Derek Carr was probably the better quarterback, you probably have a case.
That's why, yeah.
But career-wise, that's so that just doesn't even make any sense.
Not even career. Just give me the last few years, or give me the years in which Derek Carr has been in the NFL. Fine, you know, do that. You know, just you can't make that statement.
All of a sudden, though, for what it's worth, all of a sudden, Drew Brees played with a torn rotator cuff. All of a sudden. With the way social media is, this wouldn't have gotten out. It's not like it's a wide receiver. It's polarizing Drew. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I guess he's been playing. I guess this rotator cuff was torn the past three Januaries.
Yeah.
Must be one hell of a lingering rotator cuff injury, Drew.
This goddamn rotator cuff again. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Well, but either way, I think just Drew Brees deserves more respect than being tweeted that he's an overpriced Derek Carr. Whatever. Get a grip, will you?
I'm still happy that Drew Brees' son was able to catch a touchdown pass from a winning quarterback.
Anyway, for the love of God, perfect time though. I knew I only had a certain amount of shelf life there to talk about Drew Brees before you were going to do that. Anthony, really quick, just because I wasn't on the show yesterday.
Julia, actually, we're not comparing. Somebody tweeted this.
Somebody tweeted that.
We're not. This isn't us. We're just reporting the tweet news.
Yep. This is not certified by FFA. No. So if we simply saw it, and we saw it as to be a severely poor tweet. So that's why we're calling it out.
The Boner of the Week Award.
Definitely. That thought is not our own. You won't catch that from our accounts. That won't happen. Not up in here. Anthony, really quick. I didn't get to watch yesterday's show in its entirety. Philip Rivers, is he a Hall of Famer? Yes or no? Announced his retirement yesterday.
Not first ballot, but I think he ultimately gets in.
I agree. Okay, cool.
You know, second most wins of any quarterback not to have a Super Bowl ring.
Is it fair to say that I feel like other positional players with good stats can get in without a Super Bowl, but I think a quarterback, potentially a positional player can get in on first ballot if they have really good stats and no Super Bowl. But I feel like a quarterback to go in on first ballot, they almost need a Super Bowl.
Yes fair. And no. Like Eli has two, but to me, he's also not a first ballot. If you're putting Eli in first ballot, then you put Philip Rivers in first ballot.
And that is gonna be the interesting play. I agree. So, but just as long as you said that, Anthony, since you half agreed with it, I mean, it's Frank Gore's a first ballot Hall of Famer based on his stats, clearly, and his playing time. But we'll leave it there, Anthony. You don't have to say anything else. I know how you feel about Frank Gore. We can move it on if you're ready to the championship games, buddy.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, I wrote a reaction to the Drew Brees retirement and what the Colts are going to do next over at thegamedaynfl.com. Yes. The Philip Rivers. Some interesting tidbits in there. And this is something like that I knew, but I forgot about. And then when I read it and I wrote it, it's just mind-blowing. Started 252 straight games, including the playoffs. I feel like with Eli Manning, everybody talked about that streak. And with Philip Rivers, it wasn't talked about enough. He played through the 2007 AFC title game with the torn ACL. One of the best trash talkers ever, and he doesn't curse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, he's just... He is the, and this is an exact quote I used in my article. He's the, into another reason why he should get into the Hall of Fame. He's the quintessential good guy. He represented the NFL shield the way Roger Goodell and commissioners of the past want the shield to be represented. And I think that must play a role, because if you want to shove guys like Terrell Owens and Shannon Sharp, if they're not first ballot Hall of Famers because you may not like what they say and do, then you have to kind of bump up a guy like Phillip Rivers because he's the complete opposite.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. I do agree. And I will just say that you referenced this a little bit, but we are losing one hell of a personality as well. So there you go. So happy trails, Phillip Rivers. I know some people joked about this on Twitter. Have fun starting your new family. I joke because he's got 37,000 kids, but he is going to be a high school football coach. So that's pretty awesome. So
that's awesome for the kids.
And it's awesome for him. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
That's just a guy who loves the game of football.
That's what I was just going to say. You can't take the game out of him. So I love it. So happy trails, Phillip Rivers, and we'll see you in Canton. So, and
did you know that Phillip Rivers has never made an All-Pro team?
Really?
That's just, yeah. Well, 8 Pro Bowls, but he's never made an All-Pro team.
Fascinating.
You know, if he played in almost any other era, I think Phillip Rivers is more than what people make him out to be. But he played in an era with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, the tail end of Brett Favre. He played in an era where like quarterbacks were like ridiculous.
Well, you learn something new every day. So there you go. Thank you very much, Anthony Savino. That's why we have you here. That on top of your producing skills and just your wonderful
and my
kind nature
and my looks.
Oh God, yes, of course. Yeah. That's number one. I didn't think that had to be said, but yes, of
course.
Thank
you. Thank you.
So there you go. Yeah, you are what brings the show the sexiness. I am just a guy who does gifts and says things that make people angry. But there you go, Anthony. Let's get into the championship games. I do want to make one quick note, though, because Anthony, you might flash these graphics at some point during the show. If you don't, whatever. Anthony might post little screenshots of just like, you know, the preview and the point spread. I want to let you guys know the point spread you see there, if Anthony flashes it, is not the most current. I don't think it is, at least. So we'll see.
What game are we doing first that you want me to flash the graphic? Because they're loaded.
After I gave that little announcement, I was actually going to let you pick which game would you like to do first.
Let's talk about the AFC. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills traveling to Kansas City.
All right. And I will let folks know, just so they're aware, they do this too. The AFC Championship is the second game on the slate. We'll talk about it first, but it's the second game on a slate at 6:40 Eastern Standard Time. This game opened up, and maybe these graphics are correct still, Anthony, because the game opened up with a 3-point spread, apparently. And it is still at a 3-point spread. So there you go. Favoring the Chiefs, of course. And the over-under has gone from 55 to now 54, which is correct there, too. So I'm happy the graphic is correct. Anthony, Patrick Mahomes is the big story here. You know, obviously, a lot of people forget because he had that concussion, which looked pretty scary at the time. But he also had that foot injury earlier in the game, too, that he was dealing with. Was kind of hobbling around a little bit. So it sounds like he's been practicing all week. Anthony, what are your thoughts on Pat Mahomes? And do you think we're going to see a lesser form of Pat Mahomes, or are we just going to see same old Patty Holmes?
We're going to see the Pat Mahomes that we expect to see. From what I heard, the whole concussion protocol is a technicality. He was more or less, and I quote, choked out. No real head injury on that play. I think the biggest worry, or the bigger worry, is to the lower body of Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, he's going to be fine. He's going to play. My guy Colin Coward had a take, and I like to agree with Colin a lot, but this take was, well, the NFL should postpone the game until Mahomes is ready. I disagree there, because that means we have to go back to over 100 years worth of sports and put asterisks everywhere. It would crush the credibility of the game.
I'm just going to say this, though. Anthony, I know he's your guy, whatever. I know you love him, hopelessly devoted, watch his show every day, write his name all over your Trapper Keeper. But do you honestly
think he looks damn good with a beard?
Well, the beard's pretty dope, and I do love his taste in cigars, though. So I can only hate him so much, but I just dislike. But that being said, do you really, truly, genuinely think that he believes that? No, he's just saying that because Colin Coward gets his checks off of saying dumb shit, and then people tweet, people like you and me, or me, just go, I can't believe he did this, rage tweet, and then people go, who's this Colin Cowherd guy, as if they don't already know, and then they go check him out, and he gets paid, he buys nice cigars, has a nice beer, and I'm sure a lovely wife and a lovely family. I don't think
his daughter's hot. Really meant that.
She seems like a good person, so.
If she wants to be Mrs. Guru ever, can make that happen.
Okay. You guys digest that, but I don't truly believe that Colin Coward actually meant what he said. I think he was really just saying that for the exposure that he got and what he got. So there you go. So job well done again. Here's your check, Colin. Thanks. See you next week when you say something else stupid. What will you think of next? Nobody knows, but we'll find out. Yeah, so there you go. Ready or not, though, Pat Mahomes is going to have to be ready, and it sounds like he's going to be. He's been practicing this week, Anthony. So, I mean, you don't have any reason to truly believe. If you had to guess right now, Pat Mahomes is playing, right?
Yeah, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is going to be up for this game.
And you're kind of right, too. They were saying that about the concussion. You know, he's in concussion protocol, but a lot of that was being talked about. It was a lot of the way in which his head was contorted after the hit, you know, when he was on the ground. So, yeah, we'll see. But, Anthony, all right, because let's do it this way. Let's pose the question this way. Because the Kansas City Chiefs are the defending Super Bowl champions. They are the home team. They are the three-point favorite. They do have Pat Mahomes. We're anticipating they'll have Pat Mahomes. So with all that being said, what do the Buffalo Bills need to do on Sunday to stamp their ticket to go to Tampa Bay for the Super Bowl?
It's funny that Jorge says that the lack of a running game for Kansas City doesn't concern me. Jorge, the lack of a running game in Buffalo concerns me.
That's what Jorge means. Jorge, I got you.
No, he says, does a lack of a running game for KC concern you about their chances?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Buffalo that's concerning. Because
what?
Clyde Edwards-Hilaire was out last week. Le'Veon Bell is a blip on the radar. Darrell Williams gets 12 or 13 carries, goes for 70-plus yards. Darrell Williams opened the year as like the running back 3 or 4. In Buffalo, in 2 playoff games, their running backs collectively had like 19 carries for a couple of yards less than Darrell Williams did. Mm-hmm. There is no semblance of a running game in Buffalo, and I know everybody wants to think running doesn't matter, but it does, because go back to the Super Bowl where if anybody but Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback, Damian Williams, who went over 100 total in a touchdown, who had an amazing playoff run for the second year in a row, would have been the Super Bowl MVP. So running does matter. In fact, let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They finished the year in the bottom 5 in rushing yards per game. In the postseason, Leonard Fournette, back-to-back games, over 100 total and a touchdown. They're running the football. Green Bay, one of the more balanced teams in the NFL. What do? They run the football. What does Buffalo do? They give their inferior backfield carries here and there, but their best running back's Josh Allen. So in a game that's Josh Allen or bust, this isn't the wild card round against the Colts and a retired quarterback. This isn't the divisional round against a Ravens team who clearly can't play from behind, who lost their quarterback in the third, and they have no receiving threat. So you just play the run against the Baltimore Ravens. This is Kansas City. This is the championship game. This is the conference championship. You have Tyrann Mathieu, Rashad Breeland, a terrific secondary. You could probably get to Josh Allen, sending 4 or 5. This is going to be an issue for the Buffalo Bills, and not to mention, where has this offense been? They scored 10 points on offense last week. They had that pick six. Where is this Josh Allen, this Brian Daboll offense been?
It's one game, dude. One game. What have they been doing for all the games before that? What have they been doing for the last 6 games before that?
I mean, they only put up 27. No.
You asked me, where has the Buffalo Bills offense been? And I'm telling you, with the exception of last week, where has it been? Look at the 6 weeks before that. Where has it been?
Well, they put up 27 against Indy. And then 56, cool. 38, 48, 26 against Pittsburgh, 34. But they're not going over 30 in the playoffs.
Where have they been? Here the whole time.
Where'd it
they
go?
They played an impressive Baltimore Ravens team, which, by the way, has a much better defense than the Kansas City Chiefs defense. That's where they've been.
Okay.
And by the way, you love to talk about this. You love to go on and on and on about, the Buffalo Bills don't run the ball. They're so terrible. Damian Williams deserves the MVP of the Super Bowl. I got it. Very, very great. Anthony, rushing attempts on a per-game basis, okay, in the NFL this year. Where would you say?
I didn't know you were going here.
You knew where I was going because you. Where are the Buffalo Bills ranked?
They're probably ranked pretty high. But did you take Josh Allen's attempts out? Can we just focus on the backfield?
That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm just saying simple rushing attempts. Okay,
15th. Anyway. I don't know, 15th.
No, they don't. It's actually very low, and that's not the point. The point is this. Ready? Doctor. The Buffalo Bills rushing attempts on a per game basis. They are currently 25th. Now, here's the kicker. Where are the Chiefs, in which you are crucifying the Buffalo Bills, saying the Buffalo Bills aren't going to win this game? Because they don't run the ball enough. Run the ball again. Run it again.
No, the Chiefs aren't much better.
To do it.
The Chiefs aren't much better.
But where do the Chiefs rank in rushing attempts per game?
They might be dead last.
No, they're not dead last. They're 23rd, 2 spots away from Buffalo. So they're right there. So really, in actuality, except for the whole Pat Mahomes and huge contract and already the GOAT and the Hall of Famer, owns a percentage of the Kansas City Royals, has an obnoxious fiance who screams, who, by the way, is pregnant, so I hope she's feeling well. I'm not sure what trimester she's in.
She's a screamer. Thank you for telling everybody.
Shit. Anyway, be that as it may, that's probably true. I hate you for saying that. the rushing attempts. Kansas City Chiefs, 25.1. Buffalo Bills, 24.9. So, Anthony, how are you going to go ahead and criticize the Buffalo Bills for not running the ball enough? And I understand your immediate reaction is going to go, well, it's Pat Mahomes. Well, it's Josh Allen.
No, it's not Pat Mahomes.
And Josh Allen, I'll let you speak. I'll let you answer to it.
Thank you.
But Josh Allen, I'll just say this. Josh Allen is your 1A. For the NFL MVP, the 1A. It's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is getting it. He deserved it. He earned it. He's awesome. But it goes to, the 1A goes to Josh Allen, unequivocally. He's playing fantastic this year. Why can't he play fantastic again? What about this Chiefs team? And you can respond to the whole rushing thing if you'd like, because I'm kind of throwing that at you. I know you will. But I also want to ask you, after you do the rushing attempt thing, why do you think, or do you truly think, that the Kansas City Chiefs defense can stop Josh Allen? Because I'll agree with you. If they don't have Josh Allen throwing the ball, they can't just say, okay, well, let's run the ball and keep keep Pat Mahomes off the field. That can't happen. It can't. So I agree with you there. That physically can't happen. They need to go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. That's why I think they'll blow past this 54 over-under. But tell me, both those things. So you can answer to the rushing attempts, and then you can talk about what do you think the Chiefs, or can you, do you think the Chiefs can really stop Josh Allen?
Listen, you brought up Kansas City, and it's fine, and I got in front of you because I knew this was going to be brought up because it got brought up in the tweet, and that's why I brought up Tampa Bay.
Oh, it,
they're one of the worst teams in a regular season.
I'll just say that I didn't see that in the tweet.
And this is why you got to look in the threat. You got to open up the threat.
I understand.
And this is what I say. I brought up Darrell Williams going for 70 yards, 78 yards, whatever, 13 carries.
Yes.
What the Chiefs do, I bet if you go into the regular seasons, you know, the past couple of years with Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs weren't very good running the football. But if you go 2018, 2019, you can just nickname Damian Williams Mr. Cold Weather, Mr. December, February. And I'm just going to throw fantasy production out there because it's a lot easier than going game by game statistically.
That's cool.
But let's see. Week 17 last year, he had 24 fantasy points in 3 out of 4 games, and that's including divisional, conference, and Super Bowl. Go back to 2018, from week 15 to the conference championship in which they lost to New England, Damian Williams had 4 out of 5 games over 20. Mm-hmm. I don't think combined the Buffalo's backfield has given you what Damian Williams does in one December. Like, they just don't have it. So when the Chiefs need to, they can. When Tampa needs to, they can. When Buffalo needs to, Josh, you got to drop back 10 more times, man. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to give it to Devin or T.J. Yeldon?
Yeah.
Do we let's activate? See. Maybe do we sign Mark Ingram? Do we activate Devonta Freeman? They can. Yeah. When they need to, they're not going to be able to.
That's the part I will agree with you on. We have been fighting tooth and nail about this the last couple of shows. That I'll agree with you on. And I basically said as much before I kicked it to you, is just they don't have that luxury to be able to. It's true. They don't have the luxury to be able to say, hey, listen, passing game ain't working out right now. Let's run a bit. Let's shave a couple minutes off the clock. Keep Pat Mahomes on the sideline. They can't do that. I agree. My point here is in this AFC championship, I don't think that they're going to need to do that. I think if they get past this, if they play the Packers in the Super Bowl, that's a different story. They may need to do that. And that's where it's going to get tricky for Buffalo, in my personal opinion. To me, I think, and Anthony, we're at 47 minutes, so let's pick this game, give any final thoughts, and then we'll move on to really what is your, I mean, you've been icing your balls all day for this conversation, Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady. I'll just give my pick now, okay? I think that it's true, Anthony. If they have to rely on the running game, the Buffalo Bills, that is, they won't be able to do it. I agree. But I don't think they're going to have to do it. I think that they're going to go toe-to-toe, blow for blow with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't think that this Chiefs defense is going to be able to keep Josh Allen at bay enough. I think that if, and I understand that the defenses aren't equal, but if it was Josh Allen's offense playing last week, there's no way in hell, even if Mahomes is still in the game with the foot injury, there's no way in hell that the Chiefs advance in the next round. That's hypotheticals, and I'm allowed to do that. Too bad. If you don't like it, start your own podcast and make your own hypotheticals, and you'll join me. Yeah. I don't think that this Chiefs defense is all that wonderful. I truly don't. I do not think that they're all that wonderful. And I think that they are going to get, quote unquote, upset. They're 3-point favorites. I think Buffalo Bills are going to go in to Kansas City, as they say. And I think that they're going to win this game. And I think that they're going to win this game giving up a lot of points. But I think Josh Allen's going to be able to do just enough. And I think the running backs, I think it's going to be maddening for a guy like you, Anthony, because you're going to look at the stat sheet. They're not going to run a lot. They're not going to have a 100-yard rusher. They're not going to have an 80-yard rusher. They might not even have 80 yards combined rushing. But I think that the Buffalo Bills are going to be able to go blow for blow and ultimately come out on top. It's going to be, to me, it's going to be like a 3-point game. No one's going to, I don't think anyone's beating anybody by 10.
Kansas City's defense, by the way, 10th in fewest points allowed per game. They do give up production. 16th in total yards, but they're a bend but not break defense in Kansas City. The difference in this game, just like I said, every game last year, including the Super Bowl, and he proved to be a difference maker. Like Tyrann Mathieu's a difference maker. That Kansas City defense changed upon the signing of Tyrann Mathieu. It continues to play dividends.
The best thing that ever happened to Kansas City, by the way, was the Arizona Cardinals. Rightfully so, falling in love with Buda Baker, because that's what got Tyrann Mathieu out of Arizona.
But didn't Tyrann get – he went to Houston first, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah.
But I get it. I get it.
Sands, he also ended up with Kansas City. But I'm just saying that if there was no Buda Baker ever, I think Arizona would have kept Tyrann Mathieu there forever. But, yes, you're right. He did go to Houston for a year.
You want to know what the best thing ever happened to Tyrann Mathieu? The NFL lifting their weed policy. I can say that. I smoke a lot of weed.
That's good for you, and I'm happy for you, and I hope you enjoy that. But what's your pick for this game, man?
It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's Patrick Mahomes. I can't pick against them.
It's Pat Mahomes.
It's Pat Mahomes. It's Travis Kelce. It's Tyreek Hill. I mean, the list goes on of superstars that, like, you know, on the other side, you have Josh Allen. Okay, you can put him at least in not in the same tier, but in the conversation with Patrick Mahomes. They're right, at least in the conversation. They're the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the NFL. Stephon Diggs and Tyreek Hill, they're neck and neck for me. Two of my favorite, as you know. Who's next? Like, when it comes down to Travis Kelce versus Cole Beasley, Travis Kelce versus John Brown, versus Tyler Croft, Dawson Knox. I mean, there's too much to overcome.
You can't say to me, oh, what about Travis Kelce against Cole Beasley? You can't do that.
Like, this isn't
truly. Travis Kelce blows the tight ends out of the water and off other continents.
Thank you.
As far as the Buffalo Bills are concerned. But you can't all of a sudden since no other tight ends compare, let's just throw Cole Beasley in front of the Travis Kelce train. No. You can't do that. No, I won't let you do that. Travis Kelce wins the tight end race for sure. There, to me, is no second receiver on Kansas City more consistent than Cole Beasley.
Buffalo Bills, by the way, gave up the fifth most production to tight ends this year in terms of fantasy, which means in reality they probably gave up a ton. In fact, 92, 993, and 8 stat line. Travis Kelce might still be going on Monday. He might still be going.
We'll find out. All right. So ultimately, the Kansas City Chiefs,
there are a lot to overcome, and this is 2021. This isn't BC. This isn't the Old Testament. Josh Allen isn't going, Brian Daboll isn't going to go over the headset and say, "We shall overcome," and the Red Sea parts. It's not going to happen. It's over.
You tend to think that it's in biblical times because you think the only way that you can win is by running the ball, but go ahead.
Oh, really? Tell me a team that won a Super Bowl recently, or there's been 55 Super Bowls. How many of them you think weren't run-centric or at least more balanced or at least ran the football?
The reason why you clean that up instead of saying, give me one, the reason why you clean that up is you decided to go with, give me a few in that time span of all the Super Bowls, but, I mean, Kansas City Chiefs.
What do you mean the Kansas City Chiefs?
Kansas City Chiefs win a lot because of Pat Mahomes.
Right.
Because of the passing ability.
But in the playoff, Damian Williams
came up big in that Super Bowl. Trust me, I know more than most because I had to watch that and suffer the loss. All right. You're going Kansas City. We have to move on to the next game, okay? We could talk about it. We could debate this forever, and we will all offseason long. You're going Kansas City. Are you taking the over or are you taking the under? Which is currently right now at 54.
54 is a lot. There could be some rain at Arrowhead.
Yeah, blow past it. That's not they're not going to blow past it, but I'll take the over. I just wanted to correct
you. Game, and you might think I'm nuts, and people might think I'm nuts. I was a top five accurate tally site and over unders. I like the under in this game. I like the under.
Okay. No, I mean you said it. You suggested that you didn't suggest. You said that
I'm not confident. I'm not confident.
I hear you. So you wouldn't put your money on it, but you're. But
no, I'm more confident in the Chiefs outright, in the Chiefs covering the spread than I am in the over/under. And who knows? By the time this game kicks off, when it's time for me to place a bet, I might ultimately take the over. The only reason why the over didn't hit last week was because of Patrick Mahomes injury. Who, oh by the way, four drives, not stop, two touchdowns, two field goals. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a punt in that game for a very long time. Anthony, really quick, just before we move on, just for the DraftKings users, okay, or DFS users, we don't have to get too far into this because, again, we really need to get to the next game, but is this the week in which you have to, whether you like it or not, unless you want to just do whatever, is it the best way to win is to play Travis Kelce at tight end to pay up?
I mean, but isn't he going to be chalky?
He could be. But, I mean, we've already established like, Buffalo's not going to do much from the tight end end.
And, you know, I'll probably come on. I don't know your availability, but I've been doing the DFS shows on Fridays. I'm going to do a little bit of a deep dive. Like, Cameron Brate might be the play.
Yeah, it is tricky.
Like if you look what Cameron Brate has done the past, like, 4 or 5 weeks, he probably costs you nothing.
Well, Anthony... Say nothing more because you want them to tune in tomorrow, my friend. And I'll just say that I didn't even realize Anthony was gonna be that quick with an answer.
And
so there you go.
And Cameron Brate, he's not gonna give you Kelce production.
Can't control him. Go ahead.
He's not gonna give you Kelce production, but I think for what his price point, he's gonna return some value.
Anthony, my darling dear, you need to learn that we have to give something to them tomorrow. So there you go. If you tune in tomorrow, Anthony will help you out with all of the DFS, including the Cameron Brate information that he already gave you.
I'm just giving him the tip. They're not getting the context.
Okay.
They just get the tip.
Just the tip. That's a wonderful way to put it. I'm sure they're all very happy about that. Okay, let's get to the NFC Championship again, which we got to do fairly quickly, I guess, because we're rounding out to an hour. We're just about at an hour now anyway, so let's get into it. It is going to be tucking at the heartstrings of one Anthony Savino at 3:05 Eastern Standard Time. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to Lambeau to take on the Green Bay Packers. This game opened up at a 3.5-point spread. It is still at a 3.5-point spread favoring the Green Bay Packers, home of the NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers. The over-under started at 51. It is now 51.5. So, Anthony, I'm going to let you kick this off because this is tugging at your heartstrings, I'm sure. What are your thoughts here between both of your guys going one-on-one, mano-a-mano?
Listen, I wrote this game up over at the game day. Me and Paulie Parlays, we split. He took that, the AFC game. I took this one.
Paulie Parlays, I like that name.
And, when I dissected this, when I say, like, these two teams are eerily matched up well, it's almost, you know, the difference here is Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, 1-3, I believe, in his career in conference title games. Tom Brady, like, what, 9-5, 9-4, something ridiculous. And I can go on and on and on and on. People say, well, it could snow in Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers obviously plays in the snow. Tom Brady is also familiar in snow. Now, the rest of his teammates might not be familiar, but you have to assume 95% of the NFL, not named Lamar Jackson, has probably played football in the snow. I'm not really worried about that. The weather I'm not worried about, just like a couple of weeks ago.
Can I just interrupt 1 second?
What?
I'm sorry. I was just going to give the weather report really quick for a hot second, and then you could jump back into it. I apologize. It is expected to be, for what it's worth, 29 degrees. There is some snow showers, a 50% chance. Winds are only about 8 miles, so not too bad. So, but, sorry, you know, Anthony. Just want to interject with that since you brought up the weather.
The last two times that Aaron Rodgers played in the snow and everybody thought I was nuts because I liked Aaron Rodgers in fantasy, one of them was 2 years ago in New York, in the Meadowlands, at MetLife. Aaron Rodgers throws 4 touchdowns. This past time against the Tennessee Titans, I love the over and I love the Packers offense. People thought I was nuts. They lit up the Tennessee Titans and they hit the over almost by themselves. I like the over in this game. I think both of these quarterbacks are going to flourish. The difference is going to be the running game. The last time these two teams played, week 6 of the regular season, Tampa Bay, 38-10. These two teams after went in two completely different directions. The Green Bay Packers went on a run, and they're still running. Tampa Bay hit a lull in the middle of the season. They finally got their bye, and they've come out on fire. Both of these teams, and even Tampa Bay, really, they're peaking at the right time, especially Tampa Bay. We're kind of waiting for a letdown a little bit from the Green Bay Packers. When it's all said and done, I think Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, will advance to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, oh, by the way, on Sunday when this game kicks off, will become the first quarterback in NFL history to start a conference championship in 3 different decades. Mm. Tom Brady, with a win, will become the first quarterback to start a Super Bowl in 2 different conferences. He will be the first quarterback to host a home Super Bowl. Doesn't it just, the stars are aligning for an already ridiculous, historic, and storied career of Tom Brady to get even better?
Yeah. Well, listen, I do have to start to cut this podcast short because I do have some family stuff to do. I do apologize. But, it's impressive what Tom Brady's done. If he wins, it's even more impressive. You know, you mentioned the stats and everything else. I truly, honestly think, and you're right, this game's hard to call because, you know, and again, go to the Game Day NFL. There's so much there, and a lot of it has Anthony's fingerprints on it. Anthony's incredible with what he's doing over there. All season long, he has been relentless and, no one is least surprised more than
I. No, and Julia's asking, think Fournette's going to go for 100? I don't know if he rushes for 100, but considering Ronald Jones didn't play in the wild card game, he was active, and during pregame warmups, he had a knee contusion. And because the active was already set, he did not have a touch. Leonard Fournette had a good game, very good game against Washington. Last week in a divisional round, Leonard Fournette led that backfield, but Ronald Jones got 12 or 13 carries, right around that 68, 72-yard mark. But you can see the knee wasn't 100%. What does concern me here with Ronald Jones, he's going to play, but the cold weather could cause the knee to swell. Therefore, if I'm going to make a prop bet on an over and total or rushing yardage, Leonard Fournette is going to be the guy. Don't know if he goes for 100 rushing. I think he goes over 100 total for the third straight game and also finds the end zone. So if you could find a prop bet, any type of combo bet where Leonard Fournette can get 50 plus yards rushing and a touchdown, I would take it.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, I do have to get running. I got something going on. Unfortunately, nothing emergency, but I do have to get going to it. But I am going to say, for podcasting purposes, I am going to go ahead. I am going to take the Green Bay Packers in this one, Anthony. So I am proposing to you, we will do a shot bet each for the AFC Championship, for the NFC Championship, since we're disagreeing on both games. Anthony is going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I am going to be going with the Green Bay Packers going up against the Buffalo Bills. And if you read between the tea leaves of what I said earlier, you might know my Super Bowl pick, but whatever. But there, I'm going to go with Green Bay here. I think Green Bay is going to have enough to be able to keep the Buccaneers at bay. But I agree, they are eerily similar when you compare the two. But Anthony, I do have to get running, so I'm going to ask you to close it out, if you may.
Absolutely. If you're listening right now on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and a 5-star review telling everyone why you love the show. and why we are the best at what we do here at the FF Faceoff, because the more subscriptions, ratings, reviews that we get, the more people we can help dominate their fantasy football leagues and raise their NFL IQ as a whole. Mike has already exited because he does have something to do, but until tomorrow, in which I will be back, likely solo, please have a good night. Thank you for stopping by. And of course, I will be back right around 5 or 6 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. Until then, follow me at The Real NFL Guru. Follow the show at the FF Faceoff. We can be found at all the top social media and podcast platforms.